Welcome to Status Check with Spidey, where we talk about life, law school admissions, a little bit of everything. This episode falls within all of those buckets to some extent, specifically as they relate to the transfer admissions process. One of my incredible colleagues, Paula Gluzman, and I had the opportunity to interview two law school 2Ls who successfully transferred. Katie, who transferred from a more regional law school in Texas to Columbia for her 2L year after earning a 3.8 law school GPA, and Melissa, who transferred from a more regional school on the West Coast to Harvard after earning a 4.0 her first semester and ultimately ending up in the top 5% after her second semester. I'll let them both introduce themselves a little bit more and talk about their backgrounds and their goals. But I will note for now that this conversation was particularly enriching because they offered such different perspectives. Katie went straight to law school from undergrad and is exploring multiple different legal pathways, and she doesn't necessarily feel like she was able to put her best foot forward in her 1L admissions process. While Melissa is a non-traditional student who's on her second or third career going into law, she's had very specific goals from the start, and she worked with Paula during her 1L admissions process, so she felt she already had strong materials and a great application going into the transfer process. Paula worked with both of them for their transfer admissions, so she's able to give an additional dimension to all of this and to offer a ton of general advice that's applicable to anyone trying to transfer based on her many years of experience in law school admissions, including working at UCLA Law, working at the University of Washington Law, and advising many transfer applicants as part of her work with Spivey Consulting every year. This was a long episode, but I think it was all hugely valuable for anyone thinking about transferring law schools. We covered pretty much every aspect of the transfer application and experience. There were some amazing insights and incredible wisdom shared throughout. So without further delay, I'll let Paula take the lead in this conversation and introduce our guests.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Status Check. My name is Paula Gluzman, and I am a consultant for Spivey Consulting Group. And I am incredibly excited today to have two former clients joining us to talk about their transfer process. We have Melissa and we have Katie, who, if I might say, are just fabulous individuals on their own, are going to be incredible attorneys because they're already incredible law students. So I want to go ahead and get right to it and introduce them to you. So hi, Melissa. Welcome to Status Check. It's awesome to have you. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Hi, Paula. It's so great to be here with you. Yeah, I'd be happy to tell you about myself. My name is Melissa. I am a second career law student. I sort of have a meandering path I took to get here. I had gotten a bachelor's and a master's in political science. I always have loved the law and the judiciary and sort of had been a nerd on it. But after school, I chose to work in the restaurant industry and did managing. I managed restaurants and really enjoyed that time. Transitioned to HR, working in the public sector. Just really loved working with people and sort of getting to work with the law and people. And then, like many people in 2020, sort of had my moment of what's next? What do I want with my life? And felt like law was sort of meeting my real interests and passion, like academic passion, with my love of people. And I felt like it was the right time to make that career change. So decided that I wanted to move forward with pursuing a law degree with the hopes to practice civil rights and constitutional law in my career.
That's awesome. And I know that a lot of the work and the career moves that you have were based on the West Coast, and you transitioned from the restaurant industry, but then went into some really interesting HR and really meaningful diversity policy work at the different organizations and the places that you were in. So you're kind of a second career law student being able to transition through two different careers before deciding on law. And I always thought that that was such an interesting aspect of working with you as your consultant to really weave in all that experience into your applications. So that's awesome. Thank you so much for being here. And then if I can transition over to Katie. Hi, Katie.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. This is so exciting. So my name's Katie. So I am a child of divorce. And I think growing up, I was in and out of court a lot because of that. And so my mom would always say, you should be a divorce attorney. You would be so good at that because you just have so much experience and you're really passionate about working with people. And I was always like, no, that's horrible. I would never want to relive anything like that. But then over time, I went to undergrad, I did my degree in psychology, and I found that I really did like working with people and helping people through those really hard times. So for a second, I thought maybe I would want to become a therapist. And so that was my new goal in undergrad. but I still always had an interest in law in general. And so I really did some work in undergrad with, for example, parole board. I worked for the parole board for a little bit, and then I was on the law journal at my undergrad. And then finally I was like, okay, I think I can try working for a divorce firm and see how it goes and see if I actually hate it or if it's just me in my head about my previous experience. And so I did, and it actually was fantastic. And I really loved doing that work. So then that's when I decided to apply to law school. In law school, I have really loved all the subjects, especially 1L. I thought it was really interesting to get kind of a really broad range of subjects. And then I actually worked at the U.S. Attorney's Office my first summer, which kind of changed a lot of things for me. And I realized that maybe a criminal law was a path I could go down. And it was just very different than what I had envisioned criminal law to be. And so, yeah, maybe that's a potential future for me. Still figuring it out, but excited for wherever my degree takes me.
Thank you for that. And I think it's a really great part of the process of us working together, but also just in general, as you're deciding on law, seeing how all the aspects of your life, whether it's directed or intentional or just by occurrence of fate in your life, there are all the little steps that kind of lead you to the path that you go on to next. And it was amazing how you took sort of personal experiences from your own childhood, converted that into a degree that you were studying because you loved helping people and you wanted to understand how people worked better. And then the work that you did in the parole board as an undergrad kind of led you to this combination of law and maybe criminal law and family law. And then even in law school, you were further exploring and having sort of your horizons broadened by that. So I think that's something that all listeners who are applying to law school that can resonate with them, in the sense that your life and your story really is what brings you to this next step into the chapter of pursuing a law degree. And it's great to be able to look backwards. Hindsight is 20/20, right? To be able to see how all the puzzle pieces fit and to be aware that is a part of the journey. So thank you for sharing all of that. And I do definitely want to hit on the areas of interest and how 1L and now your 2L year are expanding on those interests. Because of course, once you get into law school, both of you know that becomes so much more relevant to what you're going to be doing moving forward into your 3L year and of course, post-graduation. So maybe we can transition now into, you know, you got into your 1L school. Maybe you can go into a little bit about what your application process was like and how you decided on your 1L school. So then we can understand a little bit more about what your 1L year was like to talk about the transferring. So as part of the background, Melissa, can you tell us a little bit about how you decided on where you were going to go to your first year school?
Absolutely. This feels like a lifetime ago, even though it was only a few years ago. When I started the process, I knew I wanted to go to school for this particular like field that I was really interested in, civil rights and constitutional law. And I had put out in my application process a lot of applications. I sort of had, as one would call it, maybe a splitter sort of profile. And so I really didn't know what was going to happen. My undergraduate GPA was not the most stellar. And so I just didn't really know how my application would land as a second career student. And as that process went on, I found out what schools I was going to get into. I was on the wait list ride of so many different places. And when I was sort of looking through the options that I had, the school that I chose, which was a regional school in California, just really felt right. I went to admit day and felt like the people there were just really wonderful, the students and the faculty. It felt like a place that would be very supportive of the goals that I had and was close to an area that I thought I would maybe practice in later. So all of those sort of led me to choose that particular school for my 1L experience.
Awesome. And then Katie, did you have maybe almost like a little bit of a flopped experience with regards to numbers a little bit? You want to share a little bit about how you chose your law school?
I think for me, undergrad was such an important experience. And I think that a lot of times it was really difficult for me to put my time and energy into this application process. I also just found the LSAT horrible, frankly. And I thought that was the worst test-taking experience of my life. I think I was definitely the expert on this, but I think I got very burned out by the end. I had studied on and off for over 2 years, and that was just not the way to go. And so my LSAT score wasn't super great. I was involved with a lot of extracurriculars in undergrad, and I think that I definitely have no regrets about how I spent my time. I just definitely think that the numbers are super important for law school. And so just not having those the first time around was really tough for the process. But I did end up at a regional school in Texas that had a really awesome family law program. And so that's why I decided to go with them in the first place. And they just offered me a really great scholarship as well. And so that was something that I definitely took into account for the first year. And something that I didn't look into as much, which I think I should have, is just thinking about location a little bit. And we can talk about this more later in terms of decisions to transfer and things like that. But the first time around, similar to Melissa, I was just applying to a bunch of schools. And I definitely think that I applied to just way too many schools. And I applied to schools that I wouldn't even have gone to if I got in. So just very panicked application process, I think. And I just knew I wanted to go to law school. And I didn't really put a lot of emphasis on where for the first year, just because I wanted to get started on my path, I think.
Something I just noticed from what both of you were talking about, Melissa, you mentioned your undergraduate GPA, Katie, you mentioned the LSAT. One question that we got online, and something that I think a lot of potential transfer applicants are thinking about, is how is my LSAT score, how is my undergraduate GPA going to factor into my transfer admissions process? Is it going to be important? Is it going to be as important as it was in 1L year or for 1L admissions, or is it going to be much, much less important? It sounds like for both of you, you maybe didn't have the strongest numerical credentials coming into 1L. Is that an accurate characterization?
For me, that's an absolutely accurate characterization. I had attended my undergraduate program several years before. I just hadn't really put the effort in that I probably should have, and my grades reflected that. And so when I applied my first year around, I just knew I was going to be hampered by that regardless of what I did. There was nothing I could do to really push that number. So the second the transfer process was really wonderful in that I don't think they considered that at all. And it really opened up the doors for me to really prove this is what I've done my 1L year. This is what I'm capable of. And I could like really rest on those credentials.
Yeah, I really resonate with that. I think that having your 1L grades be the main focus of the transfer process was honestly very heartwarming for me, because I felt like they were actually looking at my potential as a lawyer and a law student and not just standardized tests and things that might not indicate just how great you're going to be. So I definitely agree.
If you are working in a law school admissions office and reading applications and making decisions on files, something that you think about when you are looking at those numerical credentials, apart from what are my law school's medians, we want to increase our medians, whatever it might be on that end. But in terms of looking at an individual applicant, your undergraduate GPA and your LSAT score are useful insofar as they predict your ability to do well in law school. What predicts your ability to do well in law school better than how you've actually done in law school? At this point, when you're transferring, when you've already gotten a semester or two semesters of grades back, that really is what matters the most. And Paula, it seems like that was probably the advice that you were giving when you first started talking to both Melissa and Katie. What did your initial conversations with both of them look like?
I mean, I think that's exactly it. It was a conversation about the great thing about transferring is that they're looking at predominantly your first year GPA. And depending on when you apply, that's based on your first semester. But usually schools want to see your second semester 1L grades before they make a decision. And then your law school ranking after you get your second semester grades at the end of May or June of your first year. Some schools look at that number as well. And even though there is the question and they ask for your undergraduate GPA and your LSAT scores when you're applying to transfer, that's not what they are basing their decision on. So I have advised clients in the past, if we need to write an addendum to really explain how undergraduate grades are not a reflection of who you are as an applicant or as a student, or if we really need to explain something that occurred during your LSAT taking journey, there can be room for that in an addendum, but that's again, not what is going to make the anchor of your application. So it's a time of redemption for those who are willing and able and excited for the opportunity to potentially transfer, because it is a second bite at the apple if the first time around the credentials that they were looking for were not where they needed to be.
You talked about potentially writing an addendum, but that is not the anchor of your application. Paula, can you talk a little bit about beyond the sort of hard credentials, beyond the GPA, beyond your class ranking in your law school, what is the anchor of the transfer application?
Typically, and again, if you're applying to transfer to a school, you want to make sure you're looking at the instructions and the requirements for each individual school that you're applying to. But they are looking for your first year GPA. They're looking for your class ranking, which sometimes comes a little bit after you submit your applications, just depending on when your schools get them out. You'll be asked to submit a letter of recommendation, sometimes two, from a law school professor. So you can't necessarily use the letters of recommendation, nor should you, from your 1L application process. You need a letter of good standing from the dean or the registrar's office of your 1L school, and a resume, a personal statement, and then a life experience diversity essay, if there is room for that, and then any other required addenda that you're going to have. So as far as the objective factors that they're looking for to evaluate your candidacy, they're going to be looking at your 1L GPA and your class ranking, and then all of the soft aspects of who you are as an applicant, how you are as a law student, because that's very different from a prospective law student when you are applying as a 1L applicant, and anything that you have done within that year to sort of show a distinguishing factor about your ability to be a strong, focused student and also an engaged and professional future lawyer that's going to be a representative of their school. There's different ways that that can come through in the application. And I know I worked with each of you individually in a different way to highlight your strengths and the aspects about your stories and your intentions for wanting to transfer. So it was highlighted in the best way possible to represent who you are.
Paula, you mentioned letters of recommendation from professors, which I think are an important component of all of this, but also something that transfer applicants are often nervous about because you're asking someone at your current law school under the notion that you are going to be leaving, that you no longer want to be at that school. But that's an uncharitable sort of an interpretation of things, I think, saying you don't want to be at that school. So if either of you, both of you, could talk a little bit about how you approached asking for letters of recommendation. Did you have Paula's advice on that component of things? Were you already working together at that time? And then how did those conversations go?
I have a lot of thoughts about letters of recommendation, and I honestly miss my professors a lot who wrote me letters of recommendation. And so I think my biggest piece of advice for anyone thinking of transferring is just making sure that you get really close to a few professors. It's honestly just a really good tip to doing well in general, like going to office hours and making sure that you have those personal connections, but also getting your questions answered and just discussing the material. But I think in the long run, if you're even thinking about transferring or considering it seriously, making those connections is super helpful. And so by the time it comes around to asking for those letters, I feel like it should be a little more comfortable than just maybe going to a professor that you don't know personally super well. I know for me, I actually discussed my letter of rec a lot with my professor, one of them specifically, and he actually asked me, you know who this person is? Because they're also asking me for a letter of recommendation, but I'm like forgetting who they are in our section. And that to me was kind of eye-opening to how important it can be to actually make those connections and to have them write super specific letters of recommendation. I think advice that Paula gave me that was super helpful was, this is their job. It's part of their job description to kind of write letters of recommendation for people. Like, I'm not the first student that's asking for this, and they know that they're going to be, especially if they know that you're a very good student, that there's a chance that you might transfer. So especially when I asked them about letters of recommendation, they weren't super surprised in the first place. They were more just sad that it was actually happening instead of offended in any way. So I think just making those connections right off the bat is super important. It can be really helpful, especially if you emphasize nothing about the school, nothing about the professors, of course, or anything like that. Just maybe not for you and for reasons that we can talk about later. But yeah.
I would echo the same advice and the same sort of experience as well. When I went into my 1L year, I did not intend to transfer. So I really did go in thinking I'm going to develop great relationships with these professors. They're incredibly knowledgeable, and I really want to be the best lawyer I can be. And the way I'm going to do that is to learn from the professor what all this law stuff means. And so I feel like from the very outset, even before transferring, I had developed great relationships with almost all of my professors and attended office hours pretty regularly, if not weekly, then biweekly, just to make sure that I was getting the material correctly, but also just talking about things that they were interested in or life in general. And so when I came to the sort of March, April decision of like, am I going to try to transfer and apply and who should I ask? I had a pretty good list of people and could really articulate why I wanted to transfer. And I didn't get any pushback from any of the professors that I asked. They were incredibly supportive. And they understand the like logistics of what law school is and what it can mean for your career and the doors that it opens. And so I felt very supported in that process. But I do think, you said, Katie, having those relationships are key. You can't start to create them the week before finals and really think that they're going to stick in the same way that you would if you developed a relationship throughout the year.
Just one more thing about that. I actually did ask one of my professors for a specific letter of recommendation. So I knew that one of the schools that I was really interested in was a place that he had gone to law school. And so that was really convenient because he was one of those professors I was close with. And knowing that he went there for law school, this was in my second semester, I did intentionally make that relationship with him, just hoping to get advice or just kind of learn more about his experience. And it was a little intimidating because he wrote my general letter of recommendation just right off the bat. But then for the specific one, he was like, okay, well, let's wait and evaluate at the end of the second semester. And so that was a little intimidating for me because it put a lot of pressure on my grade in his class specifically. But I do think that it was definitely incentive to just show him what I was capable of and why he should write that specific letter of recommendation. So I was a little nervous about that. But at the end of the day, that relationship is really helpful.
That is great advice from both of you. I think it's so important to have those relationships with professors early on. And as you were saying, Melissa, even if you don't even apply to transfer, you are getting so much out of building those relationships with professors. I think that's a great point. Katie, on your point specifically about getting a letter of recommendation from a professor that is specifically targeted toward one school because that's where they attended, Paula, when do you advise transfer applicants to try to get that type of letter of recommendation? Do most transfer applicants get one or more specific letters of recommendation? What's your advice there?
I think just generally advice on getting letters of recommendation to transfer schools, if they don't require it, there's sort of a tacit understanding that a doctrinal class professor writing a letter of recommendation for you is going to carry more weight than, say, a legal writing professor or a non-doctrinal class. Legal research and writing is critically important. There's a very, very good reason why that's taught in the first year of law school. But when law schools are looking to see how you conduct yourself and how you fare in their classes, they're looking for those core foundational courses. So contracts, property, torts, civil procedure, sometimes constitutional and criminal law. And so if you are thinking of asking any professors, I would ask a combination of a professor who you have a really great rapport with, that you did well in their class in the first semester, and who would be willing to write you a strong letter of recommendation from a doctrinal class. If you had a great relationship with your legal research and writing professor and a school allows you to submit a second letter of recommendation, no problem. That can be your second letter. But if they're only requiring one, best practices is to go with the doctrinal class. And if you have a professor that you know went to a school that you are applying to, and you have done the work and the effort to build that genuine and organic rapport with that professor to be able to sort of connect the dots between who you are, how you are as a student, and that you meet the standards of the school that they went to, and they have personal knowledge of what it takes to be a good student at that school, why not ask them to write you a separate letter for that school? It is distinguishing you compared to other applicants who might not have a personalized letter for that school. So to the extent that you're comfortable that you feel that that professor would write you a letter of recommendation that can talk a little bit about my background as a student at this school from whenever that was, and knowing what the requirements are and how to succeed and what the standards are and the expectations are, and seeing this applicant exceed those expectations as my student, I see them being an excellent fit academically and community-wise at the school. Of course, that's going to carry weight compared to other applications where a letter of recommendation might not be personalized. If you have that ability and you've done that work early on in your 1L year to warrant or justify that professor to do that extra work for you, and they're willing to, by all means, I recommend taking advantage of that opportunity. Talking a little bit about letters of recommendation, I think another thing that some folks worry about is once you let anyone know at your school, as far as the staff or the administration goes, that you're thinking of transferring, whether it's asking for letters of recommendation or seeking out that letter of good standing, there is this feeling that now maybe the school is going to either try to win you back, keep you. I've heard the word sort of retaliation be used as far as maybe preventing you from being able to write onto a journal or to compete for one of the advocacy competition teams even maybe prevent you from participating in fall recruiting for 2L year. I don't think either of you had any of those experiences at your school, which is great. But it's something to keep in mind that some schools, because resources are limited and they want to make sure that these coveted and competitive opportunities really stay with those who are going to stay at the school, is to maybe just ask around, right? Ask 2Ls that you're comfortable with. Read the student handbook. A lot of schools, if they are going to do anything like that, will have it as a policy in their student handbooks. That might be something to just think about at your 1L school, or maybe ask around or see if there's anything in writing about opportunities that might not be available to 1Ls who are thinking of transferring. And I don't think we need to talk too much more about that, but know that it exists at some schools. I don't think it's retaliation. I think it's just schools trying to preserve the best opportunities in a very competitive market for the students that are staying at their school. But that's something to keep in mind, that there is a little bit of a risk in transferring. And it might be that if you aren't successful in transferring, it might limit what you're able to do as a 2L at your original school. Maybe I can ask you two, what were the pros and cons for you when you were deciding to transfer? And Melissa, if you wanted to start off.
Like I said earlier, I did not intend to transfer when I went to my 1L school. That was the plan. And it wasn't until I got my first semester grades back that I went, oh, this is a real possibility for me. And for me, the pros of transferring were really the opening up these doors and possibilities of things that I might not be able to do at my 1L school that a transfer school would provide me. Even the experiences that I've had now that has sort of cemented that, like, this is the place I want to be. I mean, there's a lot of hard decisions that go into transferring. I had a wonderful 1L year with amazing friends that I had met. I loved the professors and the faculty. The staff had been amazing. I'd been very involved there. I had a full ride at my 1L school, and the school I transferred to did not offer anything like that. So I was giving up a lot of financial freedom that I would have had at my old school. And I don't think anybody really talks about this in the transfer process, and it's not a reason to transfer or not transfer. But my 1L summer was incredibly stressful. Between my 1L job, I was also a research assistant. I was writing on at my old school, but then applying to new schools and then deciding to make this decision and move in like 6 weeks across the country. I mean, that was a little bit of a difficult summer. And I think that's just something that shouldn't deter people. But I also think you need to sort of wrap your head around, if you're going to go in on this and you decide to make that decision, just know it will be tough for a little bit and it will be worth it, but be prepared.
Absolutely. Katie, did you have a similar experience of just a bottleneck second semester into summer?
Yeah, I really resonate with that. And I think because your decisions are coming in throughout the summer, you get some super early on in the summer, which is great. And I know I got some back, I think, even before my spring grades came out even. But then I know right after they came out, there were a lot more decisions coming out. And I think my last decision that came out was July 10th, which was super late in the summer. And then throughout the whole summer, you're trying to write on to these places as well, if that's what you want to do. For some schools, you don't even know if you got in, but you still have to participate in their write-on process. I don't know why I did this, but I think I wrote on for every school except for the school I actually went to, because I was like, I'm done writing on. I've done enough. And then this is the school I ended up going to, and I didn't write on for it, which is totally fine because I'm still on journal and actually for the best. But yeah, it was definitely just really stressful, and especially trying to find an apartment in a new city and all the logistics that go into that is really stressful. But it was kind of fun just having all these opportunities come your way. And I think for a big chunk of the summer, I had made up my mind that I was going to one school. I don't know if you remember this, Paula, but I got like a sweatshirt and I was so excited. I'm not hearing back from anywhere else. And then my July 10th decision came back and I was like, I had to pivot my whole life. And I had been looking at apartments in another city, and it was just very stressful. But it was also really fun to have kind of this opportunity that I felt like I had been wanting. So it was really rewarding in the end. But I honestly think the biggest con for me, which is also not a reason to not transfer, but just like leaving your friends behind was really sad. And I think people don't really talk about the social aspect of transferring as much. I transferred also to a much bigger school than my old school. I felt, at least for the fall, a little more lost than I think I did 1L at my new school. back then. And so I think that was something really difficult, was not having those shared experiences with the same people anymore. And I'm still getting texts from, you know, barristers' pictures at my old school and just all these people that I miss so much, and not getting to continue to share that experience. Law school does bring you together in a very close way, because it can be really hard at times. So I think that's something that I definitely miss. But similar to Melissa, overall, the opportunities and just kind of, especially I'm in the city that I want to be in now, which was a very big part of my decision to transfer. And so that's been really great and definitely a positive overall.
Just a quick couple of comments on that. First of all, I had no idea you wrote on to every school that you had transferred to. And that was a hefty list. So for those of you who don't know, the write-on process is basically a writing prompt that is essentially a test or a competition to get onto one of the journals that you participate doing during your second semester of your 1L year. And you essentially get just a packet of information, and you're asked to write a legal memo or a legal paper or article on it. And that is what they use to grade your work to see if you can be on one of the journals at the school. This is not an easy feat. It takes a really long time and a lot of effort. And to do it once is hard. So the fact that you did it several times is just another reason why I love you. And I think that you're a wonderful, amazing person. And dare I say, it made you probably a better writer now at your other school, whether you didn't use all of those other opportunities. So that's crazy. The other thing that I wanted to comment on too is, I definitely want to have a conversation about how is life now at this other school? And you touched a little bit on the social aspect of that. And I think it's really great to talk about the reality of leaving a community that you were in, that you most of the time don't have any issues with, and really enjoyed and really built and invested in those relationships. How are you both doing now in your 2L years? Was it easier to integrate? Were there a lot of transfer students at your school? Did you all kind of bond together? Or what ways did you kind of integrate into your new school?
It's sort of interesting that as a transfer, as a 2L, you're equipped with the knowledge of 1L behind you, but you now are in a new school. So you're kind of reliving 1L over again in a strange way. There's a lot of things that you learn to navigate in your 1L year with the school and all the policies and how you pick classes and all the things. And suddenly you are learning that from fresh and almost no one, if not no one like I did. So that's a pretty big adjustment to make. And you're right, fall can be a little bit overwhelming because of that. I felt lucky that the school that I transferred to has a large transfer class, and the school is very supportive of the transfer cohort. So they set up a ton of programming with all of the different faculty and staff. There's a transfer cohort that takes on social events and getting you all set up with all the things you're going to need to be successful there. And they lead you through it throughout the entire year. So anything that goes out to like all of the rest of the students that we get as well, there's sort of a follow-up for the transfer group to be like, this is what this is, or this is what you need to be thinking about. And I found that incredibly helpful to situate myself very quickly. I also came from a smaller school, so the large school was a bit intimidating to kind of get myself up and running at the new school. And I just felt like I was very supported there.
Awesome.
That is super nice. My school, while fantastic, is not as good about the transfers as it sounds like your school is. That sounds amazing. We do have an organization. They don't do a lot, but they are there for support, which is nice. But we didn't really have an orientation or anything. So the first day of classes, I just got to campus super overwhelmed and was just feeling like a fish out of water a little bit. But over time, I think with the help of the other transfers, because similarly, we have a pretty big transfer class as well. I think it's 40. My closest friends are also transfers, which is totally fine. And at first, I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to be friends with other transfers. I don't know why I thought that, because the other transfers are fantastic. They work harder than almost anyone at the school. And it was really nice to have those people as well. And I think just being in New York in general, people are a little less overly friendly than I think people in my school in Texas, because they're just different vibes. But I do think that once people are like, how have I not met you before? And I'm like, oh, I'm a transfer. They're like, oh my God, that's so great. Like, welcome. And people have been really friendly. I think it's just close friends have already kind of been made 1L year. And so I think just kind of finding your friends where you can has been really helpful. So I love my professors here as well. I go to office hours weekly. And I don't know if you feel the same, Melissa, but I think because I don't know a lot of the professors or like the reputations or things like that. I got pretty lucky my first semester. And so I'm taking like two classes again with the same two professors because I absolutely loved being in their class. And so that was really helpful to find professors that I really meshed with as well.
I think that's awesome. And I think the fact that, you know, we can kind of think about this whole like, oh, maybe a little imposter phenomenon, imposter syndrome of, oh, I'm going to a new school and it's bigger and I'm being in class with students who are just so bright and so ambitious and it's inspiring, but also really, really scary. But then also acknowledging that you both have done and earned all the work and all of the experience and all of the rewards of being able to be accepted into these amazing schools, and that you can completely stand on your own and you're doing it for professional reasons and you're doing it for your future benefit and for the doors that it's going to open for you, that it's kind of nice that all those little high school insecurities fade in the background compared to the relevancy of all the grown-up reasons that you made the move and you did everything to logistically turn your lives upside down to transfer to this new school and this new place. I just wanted to commend you for getting out there, and despite it being hard and incredibly inconvenient, you both made a huge move, and I'm glad that you're reaping the benefits of it and that you're seeing all of the wonderful things that can come from a little bit of change and coming out of your comfort zone. If I can transition back to the application process, though, because I think that's what's going to be really relevant for the listeners, is talking a little bit about how we put our applications together. So we talked a bit about grades and what that means and ranking and what that means. We talked a little bit about letters of recommendation. Let's jump into how we put together resumes and kind of the strategic points that we included in your resumes for transferring, because that's another way that schools objectively look at what you're bringing to the table by way of your fit, your skills, your qualifications, exposure, and a little bit of the meat and potatoes of what you have done in your life to prove that the areas of law that you want to go into that you might talk about, you have experience in them. So can we talk a little bit about how you put together your resumes? Did you take what you used when you applied for the 1L cycle and revisited that? Maybe talk a little bit about what you did in your 1L year that you could update your resume with relevant information and what you think helped distinguish you in your resume as far as the experiences that you covered. Melissa, do you want to go first?
Yeah, absolutely. I started out by using the resume that I had from my first admission cycle, and it was already pretty long because, like I said, this is now my third life that I'm living in terms of my career. But I spent a lot of time adding in all the stuff I'd been doing in law school. I was pretty involved my 1L year. Some clinics are open to 1Ls, and so I had joined one and had been volunteering there. So I had some great experience with that. I had worked on a journal and participated in the moot court competition and done some other activities as well. I was very into law school. I sort of nerded out on it. So I spent a good portion of my resume at the top sort of highlighting all of the things that I had been doing. And I think that sort of complemented the fact that like I could do these things and really contribute to the community. But I was also a great student and had the credentials to sort of back it up. And I also, in my resume, had added in the sections of the upcoming legal experience that I had. So by the time I had applied, I had, of course, my 1L job secured. I also had a second fall semester opportunity lined up, and I was a research assistant. So I was just able to show sort of the breadth of the work that I had been doing. That was a good position for my resume and where it was at.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I always tell my clients is that if you can apply to transfer with your summer job already on your resume, you are indicating to that school that by the time you get there, if they admit you, you have that entire summer of legal experience as a law student that you can bring to their school. So to the extent that having a summer job already lined up before your application is submitted is a really great way of distinguishing yourself. Absolutely. And then Katie, how about for you?
Law school was really, really good about not letting 1Ls do a lot because they really wanted us to focus on just the learning curve that law school is. And so I think that was honestly so appreciated looking back. And I think the opportunities that we were offered, I don't know if I was the first to jump at them because I knew how important grades were for transferring and I didn't want to get distracted like I did in undergrad. So I think I was really fearful of getting too involved because I tend to do that. So I think for me, I think I was definitely involved with the Women in Law Association, and I was involved with a few other clubs, just very minimally, but I still went to events and did stuff for the club. So I ended up putting that on my resume. But I think overall, it was mostly just the legal oriented things I did in undergrad. And so the work at the parole board I did, being on the law journal, and then my summer at the divorce law firm. And so I think just having prior legal experience mixed with 1L grades and then interest in clubs for sure. Something that was actually really helpful, kind of the fruit of my write-on process, was that I actually did write on for my 1L school because I was so scared I wasn't going to get in anywhere here, even though that was maybe an unreasonable fear. But I still wrote on and I actually got a position that I turned down because I wanted someone else to have that. But I still put that on my resume because I thought that that showed that I was able to do journal and effectively write on. That might have been helpful. But yeah, I think really just focusing on the legal experience that I did have. And then as Melissa mentioned, my upcoming internship was really helpful too.
So another huge component, and probably the biggest component after grades and ranking and all of the official stuff, is the actual personal statement. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that you applied to the JD program. And we all know that the personal statement is sort of the interview that you may or may not get from being able to introduce yourself to the law school and to really cover why law and who you are and how you would be a great fit for being a lawyer and being at that school. How did you approach what a personal statement was supposed to be for the transfer application? And maybe the better way to ask it is, what were your initial thoughts about it? And then after working through the strategy and coming to the other end of it, right, to the other side of it, how was that different from what you initially thought the personal statement was going to be for the personal statement for transferring?
I actually always get kind of emotional thinking about this because I unfortunately didn't have follow with me the first time around. And so I think going through that process, the initial JD process, I was very much focused on what I thought schools wanted to hear and what would make me sound like the best applicant. And I was definitely telling my true story, but I think I was telling it in a way that would make me seem like the ideal candidate, or so I thought. And I think the second time around when I had Paula, and I'm very, very grateful for her guidance because it really let me tell my story in a very authentic way. And I think that was really impactful just for me to say, okay, a school wants me for my genuine story and for what I have to offer versus just what I think that they want to hear. But also on the other end, just feeling so liberated with what I feel like I could say and have be accepted was really just a great experience the second time. And Paula definitely gave amazing guidance for, you know, okay, maybe don't say that, you know, but my story in general, it just was very empowering to tell my story in a way that felt very authentic. And so I think just don't get in your head about what you think comes off the best, because you really never know what's going to hit a reader the right way or anything like that. And so I think just being very genuine, and I think Paula was so welcoming and accepting of my story that it was really easy to kind of translate that on paper.
Well, you're making me blush, even though you can't see it over audio. Thank you. That's very, very kind to hear. But if I can emphasize something, I mean, you had a very powerful story to tell, and obviously not getting into any details, and it was a hard story for you to tell. And as a consultant, all of us at Spidey Consulting, but I can speak for myself only, we work really hard to hear your story and to really understand your why and how it relates to the choices that you make moving forward into your legal career, and to be able to connect the dots between your truths and how you want to share that in such a short document while also tying it to why law and why it's going to make you the advocate that you hope to be, with the added caveat for transferring, making it very specific for the school that you want to transfer to. It's really challenging to do that when you don't really know what the school is looking for and you don't really know how to tie it all together. So taking sort of these bigger ideas and you being open to sharing your story with me, and then being able to convert that into a cohesive tell of, at the end of the day, I want to transfer you to your school and I can be this kind of a student and this kind of a lawyer. It really comes from you being open to the brainstorming and the strategic outlining process. So I'm so glad that you were able to kind of hone that into what you wanted it to be. And I think it was quite successful because at the end of the day, we were having the good problem of trying to figure out which top law school for you to go to. And to kind of swing the ball over to Melissa, we had the pleasure of working together on your 1L application. So we really took what we had already worked on, what you fine-tuned to be this amazing personal statement, and then chisel that into sort of the sequel of, now as a transfer student, this is what I have to offer. Is there a way that you can maybe talk a little bit about how we integrated your experience as a 1L into that essay? So it didn't sound just like a personal statement prompt that you were answering.
Yeah, when I brought out my original application from applying for 1L year, I got that personal statement out, and I had also written a diversity statement. I was looking at them both and I thought, okay, I'm going to start editing this and using this framework to go with it. And then when I was working with Paul and showed it to her, I was just like, this isn't right. It has all the themes and all the things about me are there, but they just don't hit the same because I feel like there's all this other stuff I wanted to say and it wasn't working very well. So I ended up taking the theme that came out of my original personal statement from my original admissions process, sort of this theme about how I really love places where, as I describe it, where rigid things like the law, like abut chaos of the human condition, and how that sort of has played out throughout my life. And I used that sort of theme throughout my personal statement to then sort of lead the readers through how I've got to where I was. So I talk very briefly about my personal life, who I am, the careers that I've had, and where that through line of that theme sort of plays in, and how that propelled me to go to law school and how law school has sort of affirmed that and also motivated me, and then sort of closed it with, and this school is this next opportunity, and talking about why that school was. So I try to create the narrative while also keeping like a really poignant theme, keeping it all together, because it is a lot to talk about in two pages, double spaced.
Absolutely. And when I work with clients, I really emphasize that schools really want to still know who you are and why law school in the first place. But they also want to see that you can reflect on how it's different to now be a law student than a person who thinks they want to be a lawyer and is applying to law school. And there is so much relevant content and experience of learning through the case law method, learning how to brief, learning a new language, which is procedure, and all of these Latin words that mean things in the legal field, and what it's like to engage with professors with through the Socratic method, right? So being able to acknowledge as a first year, this has been my experience. This is what I have loved. This is what I have been challenged by. This is how I've grown. It really forces you to think through how now you're different than who you were just 4 months ago since you started law school. And law schools, I think, appreciate that when they read a transfer application, because not a lot of people hit on that current experience as a 1L to the extent that they can. And I know with both of you, we kind of really worked to talk through and brainstorm. Talk to me about 1L year, right? And at first I was like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, it's great. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And then really breaking it down to skills and qualifications and experiences, and then integrating that into what you write. And if there's a way you can connect that to a theme or to an intention or a motivation or a purpose, then you reach the goal of what you need to be doing in those personal statements for transferring. So I love that both of you were able to keep the core of who I am hasn't changed, why I want to go to law school hasn't changed. But let me introduce you to law school version of me and what I've done, what I've learned, and how I'm going to bring that to my future career. And then, of course, both of you mentioned connecting the dots and showing that alignment for why you want to transfer to that school. I think you both did a beautiful job in talking about kind of the personal reasons of wanting to transfer in your statements, you know, very diplomatically, very authentically, and then also talking about the substance of things at those schools, showing you've done your research and being able to really see how or demonstrate how you could hit the ground running and like integrate into the communities that you were researching online at these schools. Would you have anything to say about that and how maybe that made you more excited or informed about the schools you were applying to?
I think something I loved about the transfer process and was kind of liberating about it was looking in the mirror and just noticing that there were changes to what I felt my future would look like. And that was totally okay. And to not have all the answers, because I do feel like maybe there is a reality with the JD process of there are a lot of applications here, but who is genuinely interested in law school? And I think maybe that uncertainty doesn't read as well the first time around. And so I think with transfer process, they know that you're interested in the law, but you don't have to know exactly what type of law or exactly what interests that you have. And I think for me, that was something that I was scared to say. But then looking at all the programs and all the different opportunities that the schools offered, and just coming off of my criminal law internship and things like that, I just felt like there were a lot of unanswered questions for me. And so I think just being able to share that with the schools, like, hey, I really thought I was interested in family law and I still might be, but also 1L year was so great to open my eyes to this other area of law that I never even considered before. And I feel like that happens with a lot of law students, but being able to pinpoint things like, you know, I really am interested in your family law clinic, but also you have this really great externship availability with U.S. Attorney's Office or things like that. So being specific, but also not feeling like I had to box myself in was really exciting. I hope that excitement was portrayed on my application of just wanting to soak in all the opportunities, but also narrowing it down enough where I just didn't seem super chaotic, I think was helpful as well.
And I totally want to hear from Melissa as well, but just to sort of echo on what Katie is saying, being able to show that excitement means that you are so informed about it that you can already form an opinion and an emotion about it. And to plug our TikToks and Anna's amazing work on all the things that we do through Spidey Consulting to inform all the applicants out there in the world, there is something about being able to reflect and show your reflection on the documents that you submit. Because if you can take the time to reflect and make an opinion and hopefully show some growth or some growth mindset or some lessons learned from the things that you have done in your life and the things that you are looking forward to moving forward, that shows maturity, that shows self-determination. It shows that you are a thoughtful, analytical, critical thinking person, and that you are coming in with focus and determination, and you're more likely as a student to find your way, which for a school is music to their ears. It means that you are responsible. It means that you're going to get things done and that you're more likely to succeed. So that reflection part is worth its weight in gold, not only for you personally, because it actually is for you as the person, such a great opportunity for growth and reflection, but for admissions, if you want to be strategic, it just shows so many things about you that most people don't even think is layered in the considerations and evaluations of applications when they read your materials. So thank you for bringing that up, because I love that it benefited you, but I know it elevated your application as well. And then Melissa, do you have anything that you would want to say on that front as well? Because I remember specifically you getting very detailed and like, really, you actually mentioned a case in your personal statement as an example of how excited you were about this area of law. And I won't lie, at first I was like, ooh, are they going to think that she's like teaching them the law? Like, usually our rule is to not talk about the law because it's not quite your place yet as an applicant. But it just worked so beautifully to show, again, how deeply you resonated and worked with the material and the things that you were learning about, that we ended up keeping it in and it ended up working beautifully with your theme. So can you talk a little bit about how that research and connecting the dots for the schools you were applying to fit into your application personal statement?
When I was in law school, I would just find all of these moments, you know, you read what feels like thousands of cases your 1L year. And I would just find these moments of like, that's wrong, or like, no, and sort of these like indignant moments. I feel like that was what I wanted to draw out in my personal statement. There are things here that, I mean, obviously I'm new to this and I'm learning every day. And I've always been somebody who just enjoys the process of learning and growth. But there's things here that like, they're like calling me to go after them. I even see here now, like I cited a case in my transfer application, but it was a case that really resonated with me. And I felt like it was a good illustration of sort of my personal feelings like wrapped up in the study of law. And in terms of looking at the individual schools and researching for them, I did a lot more of that work in the transfer process than I did my first 1L year. I applied so many places and there was so much going on and there was very little work that I could do there. But this time around, I really looked at the schools and thought, what do I really want to do? Some of my applications, I cited classes that I wanted to take. And I'm now actually in one of those classes right now, which I was like so happy to get into, in a class with like 10 or 12 people. And it's incredible. I just thought I would have never gotten this type of experience anywhere. It's such a unique course. So I do feel like you don't have to know what you want to do, but everyone I think in law school knows there's the things that drive you. And there are the things that you're like, I don't want to touch that. Don't put that near me. And so if you can sort of wrap in what the school is offering with what drives you, what motivates you, like what you want to learn, I feel like that really can carry the application.
Absolutely. And again, I think you're one of the only clients where I was like, yeah, keep that citation in. That really works here. Because it was just so seamless and so perfect. It's a perfect segue into this next topic I wanted to talk about, which was selecting which schools to actually apply to. And you covering the idea of, you know, being very intentional. I think when you're transferring, you have to be really aware of the fact of what you might be losing out on at your original school. Usually, if you're thinking of transferring, it means you've done very, very well, which probably means you're leaving behind some scholarship potentially. It means that you're leaving coveted positions, maybe on a journal or a competition team or research assistant roles with professors. It kind of has to be worth it, right, for the school that you're going to be getting into. So would you like to talk a little bit, and we can start with you, Melissa, and then bounce over back to Katie, about how you created that school list? And I don't think I'm embarrassing anyone to say that both of you did very well in your first year. I'll leave it to you to say if you wanted to share what your GPA was and what your ranking was. It's probably relevant for our listeners, but I think it might be also helpful to just, if you don't want to disclose that, to say high or in the top general ballpark of where you were. But if you wanted to share a little bit about how you made that school list choice, especially before you had your second semester grades, that you were really relying on your first semester grades when you were applying. Do you want to talk a little bit about school selection and then how you fared in your 1L year?
Yeah. So when I was deciding where I would apply to transfer, I picked six schools in the what we'd call the top 10 or whatnot, or for whatever those rankings are worth, that I thought had programs or professors or clinics that really aligned with the work that I wanted to do and that were geographically somewhere that I would actually want to live and transfer. I sort of would tell people when I would talk about transferring, which was mostly just to my family, that I had a really good, in negotiation terms, BATNA. My 1L school was amazing, and I felt like if I didn't transfer, I was going to be very happy. So I felt like I was only going to transfer for something that really was going to push the envelope for my career and really open up opportunities that I couldn't have from my 1L school. My first semester after I got my grades back was when I decided I was going to try to transfer. I ended up getting a 4.0. which was very exciting. To be honest, that also puts a ton of pressure on. I didn't expect that when I got my grades. And then when I thought, oh, I might transfer, I thought, oh, now my second semester grades matter, maybe even matter more. And I think that's something I had to work through the entire school year, is to really just remind myself that I didn't come to law school to transfer. I came to law school to be a great lawyer, and I needed to just trust the process. What worked for me 1L year, it was loving the material, reading the cases, and then going in and talking about them in class and going to office hours, following up on what I didn't understand, rinse and repeat. And I actually really loved law school. So I needed to remember that that was the focus and not the transfer application, because in the end, like, I have no control over what happens with transfer admissions, but I do have control over how, like, I approach the situation and what was best for me mentally. That was sort of how I went about my second semester. Second semester is just a lot more in general. I think you're getting more involved in the school. We have more credits my second semester. So it was a lot to balance all of those things. But in the end, I was able to sort of execute. I think if you do well your first semester and you stick to the plan that works, things can work out well for you. And I ended up graduating in the top 5%. My school does it by 5 percentiles. So I was in the top 5% of the class and ended up getting the final merit scholarship that would have put me to a full ride. So that sort of put another weight on, like, okay, I'm only going to really go somewhere where I feel like it's worth giving that up.
Awesome. And then how about you, Katie?
Yeah, honestly, my process is pretty similar. I think just in choosing a school list, I was mostly looking at location as well, not just location, but also more national schools, because the regional school, they were great opportunities if I wanted to stay in Texas, but unfortunately, I did not want to stay in Texas. And so I think just having maybe a wider net of opportunities, because as someone just out of undergrad who went straight through, I don't really know where I want to spend the rest of my life. And so that was a little bit daunting to only have limited opportunities and be kind of stuck location-wise, even if they were amazing opportunities in those locations. We talked a lot about how stressful that summer was. And I think just to go through all of that and leave things behind and move super quickly, it needed to be a really great school with really great opportunities, because I also would have just been as happy at my old school. So I think I really, really thought about that when I was putting together my list, and just schools that I would absolutely not be able to say no to if I got an offer. Definitely the financial strain was tough to come to terms with, you know, thinking about all of that was really hard. But yeah, I think how I kind of chose to transfer in the first place, I hate going after Melissa because my GPA was not as good. but it was still amazing. And I'm still super proud of myself. Mine was like around a 3.8. And so after I got my first semester grades back, I was like, okay, perfect. This is actually able to come to fruition. And what was really funny about not having a 4.0 was I think a lot of schools were super interested. And then once I got my second semester grades back that were even better, it kind of just reaffirmed that for schools. And so I just got this like flood of acceptances, which was really, really nice to feel validated because, yeah, they were like, okay, it's not just beginner's luck or something. That was really great. But I also think that your first semester grades are super telling of how you're going to do. And also I've heard from even professors at my new school that the top 10% is really going to be the top 10% anywhere. Like it's really just people who are super passionate, super interested, super willing to work hard. And I think a lot of transfers do really well at their new schools just because they have all those qualities. And I never felt behind in literally any way. I was a little worried about that, but then I was like, oh, wait, I also went over those exact same cases and I did those exact same activities. We also had an appellate brief and things like that. So I think a lot of schools are very similar in terms of kind of the core curriculum of 1L. Something that I loved about my 1L school was we actually took legislation and regulation, which is like a new class that schools are starting to adopt as a 1L course. And that was super helpful for me actually coming to this school because they don't have to take that 1L. So now I'm not scrambling for that credit or anything like that, which was super exciting. And it was also just a very helpful course in my opinion. So yeah, things like that definitely made it a little bit easier academically to transfer over. And second semester 1L, like Melissa said, was definitely crazy. But yeah, just if you did well your first semester, you'll do just fine and definitely a big learning curve, but it was really exciting to feel that validation.
I'd love to echo that. I ended up getting a B+ my second semester of 1L. I just want listeners to know that because I feel like there's this fear if you're not perfect or very close to perfect, it's not going to happen for you. And I remember waiting for those grades, which everyone sits there like, I need these grades. I need these awards because I need my transfer school to know about them to get in. And there's a fear there. I don't think there should be any fear about that. Like schools get their grades back. The schools know you don't get them till next time. But even with that B+, like I still was able to get into a bunch of great schools. So I feel like don't fear perfection is not necessary. Just being genuinely interested, trying your best. Those are like the things that are going to help.
I have so many things that I want to talk about and part of it are with my consultant hat and part of it as like human to human hat, but to kind of just talk to you as people that I really care about and respect. It's interesting because going back to school selection, Melissa, you were very adamant about the schools that you were going to apply to. And you sort of reached out to me, hey, I'm applying to these schools. Can we work together or not? And it was like, yeah, absolutely. And we applied and we did our thing. Katie, you kind of came, if I may disclose, feeling like, oh no, my 3.8, I don't know if that's going to make the cut. Can we really create like a safety target rate school situation again? Because I don't know if I'm going to get into these schools. These are the schools that I would really love to get into. Funny enough, the school that you ended up going into, you had convinced yourself out of even wanting to go to because you didn't believe that you were going to get in. And we were teetering on whether we were going to apply to that together or not. And then, you know, lo and behold, it's where you are now, which is amazing. And I think if you can think about your first semester grades as critically important, and if anyone is in their 1L year right now, I think can attest to this. And for those who will be 1Ls next year, do what you can to prioritize your academics, to take practice exams, to make sure that you understand what you're going to be tested on. All the things that are out there that you can easily research and Google as to how to excel in your 1L year, especially first semester, do that for yourself because it really sets you up for your future, whatever track of law you want to go into. But as you're transferring, once you have that strong 1L first semester GPA, it's yours to keep. You've clearly done what you need to do to get the high grades. And I hope I incorporated this in the work that we did together of like, just keep doing what you're doing. I know the stakes feel high. I know you're busier. Just keep doing what you're doing because it clearly worked in the first semester. And if you keep that momentum up, you will do great. And then as you're applying to schools, a lot of times it's still rolling admissions to some degree when it comes to transfer applications. So you want to be timely with when you submit your applications. We did a little bit of email history searching with both of you and you both applied in May at some point in time. I think the last application one that you submitted was like in early June. You submitted before you had your second semester grades and you were getting responses back, or you got responses shortly after you submitted your second semester grades. Like Melissa said, like Katie said, you don't have to be number one in your class, but in aggregate, everything that you put together and that you represent about yourself in your application, that shows you can do the work and that importantly, you genuinely want to do it at that school, will carry you very, very far. Those are the two little things I wanted to say about that. I'm sure I had other things to say, but we can move on to the next question. Talking about timing, do you all feel like you applied at a good time? Did you feel pressure to apply earlier? Did you feel like you wanted to wait? How did you feel about the timing of it all, despite it being in the middle of finals and, you know, appellate papers being due and all the other 1L fun requirements and responsibilities?
Yeah, I had been laying the groundwork in maybe March and April in terms of talking to professors about letters of rec, starting to draft a resume and a personal statement. So I felt like I had a good base. But then when I was getting into those last like 2 weeks before finals and finals week, that everything got tabled and I focused on the grades and the process that I went through. And then I think after Write On, which is of course the following week after finals, I picked the application process back up and finished it up. I think in about a week or a week and a half, because I think I had all of my applications out by June. I just didn't want to be in the last deadline situation where I wasn't submitting my best work. I think my first round of admissions, it just didn't go exactly how I wanted. And I felt so constrained, like I said, by my GPA that I wanted to just have the best thing I could possibly have on this chance and just sort of shoot my best shot. So I think I wanted to get everything in before the due date.
That's awesome. Great mentality and good energy of going into it that way, for sure. And then how about you, Katie?
Yeah, I think it was a lot to balance for sure, because I think second semester, I was also applying to summer internships and things like that. And so it was a lot to balance. But honestly, for those of you out there who are maybe not the most disciplined, which is counterintuitive as a law student, but I feel like for me, having all of there was honestly just so life-saving for me. And I think being able to balance all of those things, and Paula gave me my own deadline, so I really felt like I was on top of things, and just trusting that process instead of freaking out and being like, oh, should I have submitted this earlier? Or like, am I on track? Just having that was really helpful, honestly. So I think that was key for me. But yeah, I think definitely things like the dean's letter, things that might take a little bit longer, a letter of recommendations, I would suggest on the earlier side. And I know for me, I had to build up my confidence a lot to go into that meeting. And so I wanted to push it off as long as possible. But on the flip side, giving them time to really sit down and write that letter of recommendation is super valuable, doing that ahead of time. I know the dean's letter of good standing was really difficult for me to get. And I don't think that was intentional in any way, but I think I just had to pester them a little bit. And so I was happy that I did that beforehand too. And it was funny because they actually had me have a call with the dean before giving me the letter of good standing. And I think that this was just something that was maybe not super common, but I remember the dean calling me on my cell phone and having a conversation with him, or basically all he wanted to know was, how can they improve as a school? And there were absolutely no hard feelings. It was just him kind of getting a survey of what I felt like was missing. And I reassured him it was basically just location and things like that. It was a great conversation. And then I got my letter. But having to schedule those things in advance is really helpful and can help you balance not having to tie up those loose ends at the end.
Those are really great points. Anything to add to that, Melissa?
I would just add, or maybe second, that the dean certification letters and whatnot, especially having had a master's and a bachelor's before, I was doing a lot of reaching out to a lot of schools to get a lot of those letters out, and they're kind of a pain. So just put that on your front end as like an easy checklist to start working with. The last thing you want is to be worried that a school is delaying your application or any decision being made on your application.
Absolutely. I sometimes think that the logistical things are the things that at the end of the day can tie up things. The ball is not in your court with those items. And so the earlier you can get them handled, the easier it's going to be in the application process, for sure. Okay, so bringing us forward to present time, you got into your school, you made the decisions of where you're going to go. Tell us a little bit about now what you're doing. Do you have something set for 2L summer? You both throughout this entire podcast mentioned so many wonderful things that you're experiencing and the reality of being a transfer student as a 2L, but what do you think the school's actually gotten you, right? What are you taking advantage of? Are you happy with your decision? Just catch us up on how you are now. Are you happy with the decision that you are where you are?
I can say that I am very happy with my decision. I knew I wanted this and I knew it was right. All of my experiences this past year have sort of affirmed that. I am right now working in the election law clinic here at the school, and it's one of the only ones in the nation, and they're doing incredible work on voting rights. And it's been just really amazing to get to work on these cases and be a part of a legal team. Like I said, I got to take this Supreme Court jurisprudence class. It's about narratives and framing. And that was what I studied in my master's program. And so to get to take this class sort of felt very full circle of the application. I got to compete with a transfer team in the moot court competition that we have here at school. And our write-on process actually for transfers takes place at the end of 2L. So I'll get to do a write-on process potentially at the end of this year. I've gotten to meet so many incredible people, heard amazing people who've just done incredible stuff speak. And as someone who's like very interested in the Supreme Court and the judiciary, I feel like I'm getting an education from people who've lived it and breathed it. And that's been a real joy. I couldn't be happier with my decision.
I love that. And I remember when you actually texted me, and I remember all you wrote was the school name in all caps. I don't even remember where I was, but like I do with all my clients, when I get amazing news, I like stop what I'm doing and I do a happy dance and I send you the most obnoxious amount of happy emojis that as a millennial, I know all you young people will laugh at me for, but it's just so happy and exciting. And working with you from the very beginning to this point was just the best part of my job, is being able to be there for the hard times, but also the really wonderful times. And similarly to you, Katie, and I know I want to hear your response of how you're doing where you are, but it was a journey listening to all the wonderful places that you got in and places where you thought you wanted to be. And like you would buy the sweatshirts and you were already like moving there. And then when you got into the school that you got into, I was at an airport where you called. I just got off the flight. I managed to answer your call. And in the middle of an airport, I did my happy dance and gave you the verbal equivalent of all the happy emojis because of where you got in and how wonderful a result for the journey that you had getting into your transfer schools. So tell us a little bit about how you're doing there now and what you're involved in and was it worth it and all the things that can enlighten us about your life day to day.
Yeah, that's hilarious. It was definitely a entertaining roller coaster. I was like, Paula, I'm going here. No, I'm not. I'm going here. I felt like every school would have been so incredible. And I was really grateful for those acceptances. But I think at the end of the day, this definitely felt like where I needed to be. And I guess I'm like a little superstitious, but I was telling myself, okay, the transfer process is really stressful. I'm going to make an actual decision by July 10th. And that's when I got into this school. And so I was like, okay, that's weird. That's some kind of sign. But yeah, it was really exciting to get that news. And I think now I am extremely happy. I think I've gotten definitely the opportunities that I wanted. We talked a little bit about the financial burden. Because of that, I am doing Big Law this summer. And I'm actually really excited to try it out because I think I just vetoed that based on my interest in public interest law. But I think I'm actually getting excited for litigation and corporate law. And so I'm doing that this summer. And that was through the school that I'm at now. And they were really good about helping me go through EIP and that kind of recruiting over the summer, even in such a short time, which was really helpful. And just in terms of my passion for criminal law, I am doing an externship at the DA's office right now. So it's really interesting to compare that with the U.S. Attorney's Office and kind of the work I was doing at the federal level versus at the state level. I'm in Brooklyn, which is really exciting because there's a lot going on over there. And they're actually letting me handle 6 or 7 of my own misdemeanor cases. And I've gotten to go on the record in court for the first time. And it's just been a really great experience. I'm sure a lot of schools maybe have externships like that, but I thought that this was just really special being able to be in New York and working on cases like the ones I'm working on. And yeah, taking classes with professors who are just such experts in their field. And I think definitely there were professors like that at my old school, but it just feels really inspiring to have them every day in class and just be able to have speakers come in and things like eating lunch with a former Supreme Court justice and things like that, that are just so crazy that I never thought I would get the opportunity to do, which has just been really rewarding. And so I'm definitely very, very happy where I am now. Thank you, Paula.
Oh my gosh. You both are so inspiring and so wonderful. And it warms my heart that you are happy where you are. And just to acknowledge how hard you worked and you're working to be where you are. It does not come easy. And, you know, luck plays a little bit in it, but luck is just a combination of preparation and being successful in the things that you're doing. It's great to hear you're all doing really, really well.
Yeah. Thank you both so much for offering so many insights into both your application process and your experiences as transfer students, because I think that's incredibly, incredibly valuable. I have a question for both of you that I think might be a good place to end, since as we've talked about, I think the primary audience of this episode is going to be law students who are thinking about transferring themselves or are in the process of preparing their transfer applications. I'd love to end with some advice for them. So reflecting back on your whole process, talking through it today, speaking with Paula again, I would love to ask you, what do you both think was the most helpful piece of advice that you got during your transfer application process?
I think I have two pieces of advice throughout this process. One is sort of either if you're coming into your 1L year or in the middle of your 1L year, and then sort of one while you're in the decision-making process. So in your 1L year, you should not spend your time worrying about transferring as much as you should just worry about being a great lawyer and trying to be a great student in law school. I have the saying that luck always favors the prepared. And so sometimes you just have to get in there and do the hard work and realize you're doing this for something bigger than whatever school ends up on your resume. And I think if that's the focus you have, it's going to pay off in a way that feels way more fulfilling. It actually can lead to better outcomes than worrying about transferring, because the anxiety around the law school admissions process is just horrific. And so I think as much as you can avoid that, you'll be doing yourself a service. And then in the process of actually transferring, my biggest thing would be to really trust yourself in the process. Like, trust who you are as a person, what you have to offer. The goals that you have can be big. They can just be things that you couldn't have dreamed of a few years ago. And it's okay to shoot for those things. There's so much noise. Reddit is one thing, but every other lawyer has an opinion and a professor has an opinion about schools and about your career and advice. And I think to some extent, all of that can be really helpful to hear perspectives of people who've lived their lives. But in the end, like, you are the only one who gets to live your life. And so you really need to make the choice based on your unique situation and your unique goals. And in the end, block all that other stuff out. You'll make the right decision if it comes from somewhere, from you, and not from sort of the outside world telling you what you need to do.
I guess I don't want to be too repetitive, but that was really great advice. Going off of that, trying not to disconnect from the school that you're at. Because I do think that once you kind of make the decision to transfer, it can be super easy to be like, okay, like, I don't want to get any more emotionally invested or invested in the school that you're at. And I just do not think that's the way to go. I think you're there. It's an amazing, wonderful school. And making those connections, making those friendships, making those relationships with professors, that's just still so important for your second semester or even just in general. Like I mentioned before, I still have my friends from my old school and we still keep in touch, which is just really amazing. And I think just join that club if you want to join that club. Write on for law reviews if you want to write on. I think just trying not to pull away from those experiences is just going to be really fulfilling while you're there, and then also can have long-term impacts. And then just echoing Melissa's point about being authentic throughout the process, I think it can be really easy to focus on rankings or things like that when you're transferring. It just feels like so much weight. And I think that that definitely played a role for my decision in my school list. But I think at the end of the day, it's just where you're going to feel most comfortable. You're transferring for you. So just being authentic to whatever that means, similar to what Melissa said, is just really helpful for feeling at peace with your decision.
That is excellent advice. And I think a great overall takeaway, both of what you were talking about for listeners of this podcast. Paula, I think I'd love to end with one last piece of parting advice. You worked with both of these exceptional individuals and you helped them to craft their applications and to achieve such wonderful outcomes. What's sort of one last piece of parting advice that we can leave listeners with?
Well, first of all, I'm so glad that we got to do this and I got to listen to both of you again and to see and hear about your amazing successes. It's such a treat as a consultant after working with clients to be able to come back and see all the wonderful things that has bloomed from all of your hard work. I think the one last piece of advice that I would give to anyone who is looking to transfer, and really this is applicable to anyone applying to law school as well. Everybody has strengths. And of course, we all have weaknesses, but we don't need to talk about those, right? We can focus on the strengths and things about your life, your timeline, your experiences, the person that you are, the character and the life story that you have that has made you who you are. All of those strengths and positive aspects about you are distinguishing factors for your law school application. So we had talked a little bit about how you distinguish yourself in every component of what you're submitting to a school. We all have elements about ourselves that are distinguishable. So my advice is take the time to really think through what your strengths are. It's not a time to be humble. It's not a time to be self-deprecating, but a time to be truly honest about what you bring to the table. And then figure out a way to incorporate that into the application in as many relevant ways as you possibly can. It is completely okay to talk about the things and to demonstrate the things that you've done in your life that make you a wonderful candidate for law school and to be a lawyer one day. And when schools are looking for distinguishing factors, we all have them. What matters is how you put them on your application and they're received by the admissions folks that are reading your application. So you all have distinguishing factors. You all have strengths. Just figure out a way that makes most sense for you to incorporate that into your application. And hopefully you'll end up exactly where you're supposed to be. If not the first time around, like our guests may have shown, for sure the second time around when you are transferring. So I'll end with that.
Thank you so much, Paula. I'm just like so thankful for all of your guidance and whatnot. I feel like when we left this process, you're like a friend. You know so much about me and who I am. And so I feel like the consulting process ends up being more than just a help with law school. It ends up sort of being like a growth moment and like a friendship. So I appreciate that.
Of course. The feeling is mutual. Absolutely. And to you too, Katie. It is. It's just this like lovely community that we're able to foster. And I just get lucky every single day with amazing clients like you too and working with colleagues like Anna. I'm a very, very lucky person to have you all.
I also just want to say thank you so much. It's so nice to see you again. I feel like you always just like warm my heart. You have like a very calming presence. So that was so nice during the process and just in life in general. So thank you so much.
And I meant it genuinely. I'm so glad you are where you are and you guys are thriving. It's amazing.
I am so, so grateful to everyone here for donating to us this amount of your time. This was fantastic. Thank you guys.
Awesome.
Thank you for including us.
Absolutely. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. So we're going to see you.